Your recordings have been started. You may now proceed.
Convene for our last session. The last people will come back. This is the part where we are going to allocate tasks, so if people don't get into the room, it's not a problem. Yeah. Alice, do you have control over the slides? Okay. Can you go to the next step? So this session is about how we organize for the next steps of our work. And there's a long discussion that has been asked for a while now about timeline and what we are about to do, and that's the moment. That's when we need to be clear. At the end of this session, we want us to be very clear about what is going to happen and when in the next few weeks and months into our group. This is important to us. This is also important to the CWG and important to the ASO NACs, the endorsing organizations, so that they can organize. And of course, it's important to the board as well, which has set some expectations, and they want to know whether it's going to be held or not. So the first item is what I've drawn here is the structure of the public comment report that was shared with the group during the last call. I want to why is it here? Because I think the first item on our list is, okay, are we ready to go for a public comment, which was initially planned for and is still planned for April 6th? Okay, so let's not talk about the timeline yet, but at least look at what's at hand and what is to be done, and taking into account what we've been doing the last few days. So that was the structure, and obviously some of these sections can be made very lean and using a lot of annex work, but we need a summary. Okay, that's the easy part. We can have the methodology. I think we have what we need. Definitions and scoping, so that's where the document that we've been exchanging a few times already is going to fit, so that we clarify what's at stake and what definitions we're using. So I think we've made good progress for that, and I mean, unless there are last minute objections, I think we are very much advanced on this. The inventory of existing mechanisms is based on work area one work. It's been done, and we only need to phrase it in a way that is readable for people who are outside of our group. The same for the input that was gathered from the community in the two rounds of comments, and that's basically looking at what we've been looking at in terms of input. So that's things that we can definitely handle. There's not too much remaining on this. Contentions are the contingencies, I think, more or less. We should probably mention contingencies in terms of instead of contentions. There's the contingency list, and then there's the stress test. We could merge both into a second part. And we have a lot of work, and we need to reassess, based on the accountability mechanism we propose, how they still stand, or if there are adjustments to be made. So I think this is something where we've made extremely good progress in anticipation of this meeting, which puts us in a good position to be quite agile in reasserting this once we have the accountability proposals set up. The item number 7 is certainly the one key issue, and I will get to that a bit later. I think it's important that we add something about the Workstream 2 recommendations, which we've been discussing in the last hour, and that's something that we still need to further investigate. how we plan to address this is something that I think we should provide clarity on. And of course, there's something about implementation plan and timing that is certainly part of the public comment, providing clarity for the community to look at this. So that's a general view of what we have to deliver. If we go to the next slide, that's a focus on section about the accountability mechanism. So considering what we've been discussing, I think we could go for a structure such as the one that's proposed here, which is basically there's an overall accountability architecture to be described. We have a wonderful graphical design for that, but there's a little bit of a story to explain about how it came about and how it plays out as an architecture. And then there are a number of recommendations which are very consistent to what we've been discussing. So the revised mission, commitment, and values is the part that Becky introduced yesterday. We've been discussing today about the golden or entrenched bylaws, which is something that would be a recommendation to introduce to enhance ICANN's accountability. The independent review panel enhancement, the very strong part, the crown jewel, if you will. The community empowerment, which then moves into the challenge of the budget or strategy, the challenge of the bylaw change, the approval of golden or entrenched bylaw changes, by the way, and the dismissal of the board. Those are the key parts on the community powers I see so far for Workstream 1. And, of course, then the AOC review system being transcribed into the bylaws. So the question at that point is, and I turn to Jordan if he has a question, but do we agree on this structure? Do we agree that this is what we have to deliver for a public comment? Considering that not everything is going to be detailed in all details, and we are speaking at a level of detail that is requirement-based, we are describing what we want. We are describing the properties and features of these mechanisms and not detailed wording on bylaw changes or, rules of procedure for the IRP, right? And I just also that the discussion on the community powers shows that we should not expect to go for public comment with one single proposal on how it's going to work out. Otherwise, we might shift the timeline quite a bit on this, and probably we could consider going to public comment, this first public comment, with two or three options and scenarios, as we discussed, from the community, how the community powers are set up. And with that, I think that's the first item where I think we need serious discussion on, fully, and it's really designed to be something that we flesh out together. I have a queue forming with Alan first.
Hi, thank you. Don't we need a sixth item on the WS2? How we plan, you know, the kind of thing we were talking about right at the end of the last meeting, that is how we plan to make sure those happen.
It was in section 9 or something on the slide before.
Sorry.
But yes, we
that.
Need this item. I agree, okay. We need this item.
Thank you.
Jordan?
Thanks, Matthew. Jordan here. I think overall this structure looks all right as long as we make sure that the focus is on the mechanisms and the structures. If you go to the next page of what we're displaying, as long as you are not trying to assert that number 4 is necessarily a complete list, I'm happy with that. I think Working Party 1 needs to do a bit more work to work out its proposed Workstream 1 powers. And I also think that we need to have an early discussion, maybe at next week's call, maybe the week after, about finally coming to consensus on what we're proposing as Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2. We haven't quite had that discussion formally yet, and we need to. The third thing is that list of recommendations needs to deal with the reconsideration request process. The fourth point I'd like to make is that given, it's a little bit harder to have this conversation when we haven't talked about the timeline. I'm assuming, A, that the timeline is going to be pushed out, and B, that this isn't going to be our only call for public comments. And so if both of those things are correct, at least the second one is correct, then I'm very happy with us going a bit more than painting the picture, but not having to actually consult the community on the actual wording to implement all of these things. All of the key design decisions need to be there in this round, but not the perfect detail. And the last point, which I should have made before the one I just made, is that we need to consult on the mechanisms, if you like. And is that what's envisaged where you say description of overall accountability architecture, or is that somewhere else? In other words, how we're going to represent the community. Where does that fit here?
Fit in section 4 as an overarching item, but that needs to be incorporated. That's right.
In this section 4 here, or do you mean in section 4 compared to section 7? This one. Okay.
It's okay, but we need to describe this. We are in agreement, and then if there's another an adjusted structure to fit this, I mean, it's perfectly open. But that the intent is to describe also the structure by which the community is empowered. Of course.
Oh, I think George had just mentioned this. I was just going to say reconsideration request on that list is sort of between 3 and 4. That's an important one, but so I wouldn't have that as a by the by or anything. It's up there with that level. Otherwise, yes, great.
I think that's it. So I noted that we will have to discuss the Workstream 1 powers for the community. I'm not sure we had
one.
The reconsideration request flagged as Workstream 1 in our initial work in Frankfurt, but it's perfectly okay that we discuss this further, and if possible to add this.
It was flagged, and it's also not a community power, or not solely a community power, it's an individual power.
So I know.
That's part of the WP2 group.
In my memory, it wasn't flagged as one, yet it was flagged as one of the items we wanted the CCWG to work on, but it's perfectly okay if we have a rationale to say this needs to be addressed within Workstream 1 and we're ready, that's okay. I just don't want to add too much because we need to keep focus at some point. But I think we're planning to address reconsideration requests at our next call, so that's something we need to discuss. Next is Roloff.
I think it's a good setup on the condition that indeed we also deal with what you just called the structure through which these powers are enabled. I would like to stress that we better stick to the terms that we've been using so far. So a power are those A, B, C, D, and what we call a mechanism is community council, a membership structure, delegate structure. And I would like to say the same for, we now suddenly introduce the wording challenge budget and challenge bylaw change. I'm not a native speaker, but I have the impression that challenging something is something else as vetoing it. And I think we have to be very specific in what we actually mean by the time we consult on this.
Thanks. Yeah, the blocking, okay. And thanks for calling me off on definitions. That's a good one. Becky.
meant to put my hand down. I just was agreeing with something.
Becky, sorry for the confusion. Avery?
Thank you. Avery speaking. I guess I'm a little concerned if this is all Workstream 1. I know we're putting a lot in Workstream 1 because we want to be assured that all good things will happen before we lose the U.S. government protection. But I'm wondering if we've got things like the ability to spill the board, the golden bylaws, the ability that the AOC reviews, and as was suggested, perhaps the list of things that's being worked on that will be continued. Why do we need, for example, the budget in Workstream 1? How is this complexity about the budget something that needs to be dealt with before government, as long as we have included it in the list of things that are in the bylaw that need to be worked on? So I'm afraid that we're still putting too big a bite, too big a set of work in the work stream one of things that we need to do before the IANA transition can happen. And that's okay. Thank you, though. And we're making it more difficult than it needs to be. And so we had always talked about this needing to be a minimal set of things that had to get done in the near term, and then we continued. We already saw that in the budget issue, there are a lot of complexities about, you know, doing it before, doing it after, how much we participate in the budget. That issue is a very complicated one, as with some of the others. And so I'm really wondering, can we cut this down to a list of what's absolutely necessary that gives us the assurance we'll get the rest of the work done in the longer term, but we really only do what needs to be done? Thanks.
The question about whether that needs to be done or not is very much related to the stress test. But we can definitely test whether by removing one item that would expose us to some of the contingencies in a strong manner or not. And I know it's been very apparent in the obvious in the stress test where which power was actually providing a key mitigation to the contingency, and so I think I'm fully in favor of focusing, but I know that budget and strategy, for instance, were significantly had a strong occurrence into the stress test as something that mitigates. So I think that this would need to be checked. Is that a direct follow-up, Steve?
Steve Del Bianco, and with respect to the stress test, Mathieu, you're right. There are several up front dealing with financial concerns and problems that ICANN, for which the budget blocking becomes important. There are others with respect to scope, where ICANN tries to fund a program that's well outside of its limited scope. The budget blocking becomes essential. However, Avery has a good point about when they have to get baked in. I mean, if the timing of these contingencies doesn't happen for a few years, you could probably go naked, providing we get it done quickly. So there's no timing built into the stress tests. So if in fact working out the details of 4A will take months and potentially delay a transition, Aubrey's point is worth discussing as to whether we have sufficiently got commitments and powers in the interim bylaws, as Krista Spain mentioned, to then work out the details of something like that. Just because it's mentioned among the solutions to satisfy a stress test doesn't necessarily imply that it must be there on day one.
Thank you, Steve. Next is Jonathan.
Thank you. Jonathan Zook here. I wonder if it behooves us, as we talk about greater participation and things like that, to have a portion of this request for comment that's a little more structured, that instead of just being a bunch of data and recommendations in the sort of open and free for people to comment in any way they can, have a section that's a set of questions and prioritizations, et cetera, because that's what some of this will get reduced down to. If we go this way, it'll have this implication. If we go this way, it'll have that implication. What's your preference? So that maybe there's a list of kind of 10 questions at the end of this that allow people to more easily see what decisions are being made as a part of this document and to focus the comments a little bit more.
We'll get to the structure of the comment discussion just after that. But I think what my main item here is to make sure we have clarity about what we are working on to call for comment. The way we're calling for comments is probably a question we have to address right after that. And we'll come back to your comment at that point, I promise. Jordan?
We've had identification of issues between work streams 1 and 2 for months now. And so I just want to, you know, we can't keep relitigating these things all the time. From my point of view, we have to have the smallest possible list that's consistent with what our requirement is. And it isn't things that relate to the IANA stewardship transition. It's things that have to be done before the IANA services contract with the USG finishes. They're not the same thing. And so, you know, the use of applying the stress test is important. I don't think anyone wants to pad the list. But some of the discussion in this weekend has made things sound complicated that aren't complicated. And so I don't think we should just say, you know, like the budget reconsideration. It's not a difficult thing to implement, actually. You know, so we need to avoid putting pressure on ourselves to not do things that we think need to be done. So I'm just comfortable as long as we say that we look at the stress tests, we try and keep the narrowest possible lists. I'm happy with that. I don't want us to be sitting here ruling things in or out as we work through today.
I have Alan and then Paul. Jonathan, can you lower your hand?
I guess I was going to say something almost exactly opposite to Jordan and support Avery. Now that we have a structure or a possible way of going forward with Workstream 2, and we certainly could add a proviso in that one that it is phased, we don't necessarily have to bundle everything in Workstream 2 at a single pass. We could do, you know, an A and B. So the first ones could come pretty quickly and take some of the pressure off us on Workstream 1. I mean, I suspect even some of the items under Item 1 and revised mission commitments and core values, some of them have to be there. Some of them may not be. So I really support trying to keep this minimalist and then getting the next ones, the ones we defer, pushed out as quickly as possible once we have the first phase done. So just a thought.
One thought that occurs to me is we've been clear on the record on a certain list of minimal powers for the community that would be Workstream 1, that others in the community, and I'm speaking of the CWG among others, might at some point rely on in terms of anticipating the accountability mechanism that would be in place at the point of the transition. And I'm curious or wondering what the impact would be if we said, oh, we were mentioning this, but we're backing off. It's going to be later at an undetermined moment. So I just wanted to put this for our reflections that there is, in focusing, basically withdrawing elements from these powers. That's a factor we need to take into account. And I'm hearing different views here on this. So that's why I'm raising this point. Yes, very quickly.
Very quickly. The CWG is not finished yet. They may well come in on Friday evening and say, we've almost come to closure, but we need you guys to add an accountability feature. So we cannot omit anything which they say they need, even if it hasn't been mentioned to date.
But what they're saying is we need clarity about what you are going to do. And so I think it is a very strong requirement out of this meeting that we give them clarity about what we're going to do and not go back into a loop of, oh, we may do that, but only if you ask us, and so on and so forth. So that's what I'm putting this this element here. Is it a direct follow-up? Go ahead.
Okay. I understand why you said that, because the budget accountability and transparency was one of the things on the CWG list. But it was not about a veto against the budget. It was about transparency in terms of being able to understand the budget, in terms of being able to see it. So it wasn't asking for, we need to be able to veto the budget. We need to be able to see the budget. And so those are somewhat different. And so to say we need a strategy to veto and challenge the budget because of the CWG is, I think, overstating the case a little. What they asked for was basically being able to understand and transparency of the budget, not the vetoing of it. So I just wanted to make that point clear, that budget is being used in different senses, perhaps.
I may have a different reading from with my CCTLD hat about the benefit of having the ability to challenge a budget in one of the scenarios where the INR function, for instance, would not get the appropriate resources at some point, that it would degrade the service levels. But my point is we need to be aware of the differences we might create and the difference between expectations we've been setting and the new level of expectations we would be setting after this meeting. I think that's very important to take into account. Paul?
Hi, Paul Rosenzweig. I concur completely with Jordan's view that the budget issue is not as complex as we think it is. But if we think it is complex, but it is essential, then the answer is not to toss it into Workstream 2 because of the complexity, but rather to recognize that more time is necessary in order to get it right. I, for one, think that almost all of the powers that are listed there, other than the budget, are negative powers that are useful only in stopping adverse behavior, that the budget and strategy approval mechanisms are the only ones by which the community will have an effective hook into forcing positive changes that they wish to, and that therefore it, of all the ones up there, is probably the least likely of the four community powers to be pushed off into Workstream 2 in some ways. We're not going to need to dismiss the board this week, but we are going to need to talk about the budget every week of the year and twice on Sundays. So if it is complex, take the time to get it right. I'm not sure it is, but take the time.
Paul, please. And then Avery, is that another? Okay, thanks. Then Keith, Chris, and then I'll close this queue.
Okay. Thank you, Mathieu. Keith Drazik. So I typed into chat, but I'll repeat it here, is that Workstream 1, by the definition in our charter, is those mechanisms or reforms that must be implemented or committed to prior to the transition. So if something like the budget authorization or review or challenge, whatever we're going to call it, is something that we find critical to the process or a component of the process that we don't want to lose, then we could say that that could be a committed to topic or reform or mechanism. In other words, if we find that as we work through this process that it is too complex to be able to say here's exactly how it would work before the transition can take place, then we can just say let's have it committed to and then work out the details later. It does not have to be pushed to a work stream too. So I think we have some flexibility there. And just to follow up, I mean, I think we have a range of mechanisms here. It's sort of a range of powers. And spilling the board is, as we've called it, the nuclear option. But being able to review and approve the budget is something short of that, but still something very important, I think, in terms of giving the community the ultimate power over decision-making. Thank you.
Chris, are you
I have a broken microphone, so I'm...
You broke your microphone.
It was in an accident with a glass. I'm fine with Jordan's... with this list. I acknowledge Avery's point, but I think we're so close to being having sort of consensus in respect to the budget, I can't really see the point of pushing it off. However, I am a little bit concerned about the way that we've been talking about it since we started this topic in the last 10 minutes. It's up there as challenge. Keith just referred to approve. My understanding is what we're talking about, and it's really important because we're going to be talking to the CWG, or you're going to be talking to the CWG, the whole of the rest of the community, that we are very clear what we're talking about. So my understanding is that we would have the ability to say no to the budget and send it back to the board with comment and input and advice. No point in just saying no. It was a complete waste of time. No. But we're not going to tell you why. So no, here's why. Please fix. That's it.
So that was one of the comments that was made earlier in the discussion. I think we are... I'd like to test a proposal with the room that... I mean, we're on track with these powers at least. So I would hope there would be no objection to at least go for public comment with this list, if we're in a position to do so. And obviously, if the comments and the feedbacks show that there is additional complexity, something we haven't taken into account, then obviously we would have to revisit Workstream 1, Workstream 2. So would there be any objection to confirming this list, at least with the provisions that were made, at least as our list, and there will be additions that have been noted to be discussed, like the reconsideration request and maybe additional powers in the Work Party 1 that are currently being discussed, but that we keep announcing this list as the expectation for them to be included in a public comment. Expectation for the public comment so far. Would there be any objection to that? I'm seeing none. Good. So that's how we're going to proceed. So the next question relates to Jonathan's point. We are on the level of detail where we describe the purpose, the rationale, the requirements. I think Jordan mentioned something that was very well, the key design decisions. I like this formulation. Can we go to the... Oh, that's... So with identification of where the group is in agreement and potentially some of them were investigating further. That's, for instance, in the IRP, there have been some items where we won't be 100% design in agreement, and we might have some things we're still working on. And it's important to have the community aware of this. The proposed approach to the questions is a different one from the one you were mentioning, Jonathan, and I want to explain why. So the proposed approach is to ask on each recommendation or set of recommendations on for instance, the bylaw change veto or blocking, or I don't know how we are supposed to say that, on this particular one, saying some simple questions that are the same for all recommendations or almost, asking whether it's supported, whether there are any comments related to this, but structure this into our set of recommendations as much as possible so that we can facilitate analysis and review of these comments after that. And I understand there's experience within the GNSO at using tools to actually facilitate review of all the comments. And that's the experience that is drawing us as co-chairs to introduce this proposal here, which is obviously for discussion, but that we get our questions as focused as possible on the recommendations, plus some catch-up open questions, obviously, for anything we've missed or questions regarding the overall support of the group. That would enable us, when we get comments, to share the workload of reviewing this, with obviously support from staff to feed into how's it called? CNSO public comment review tool.
Yes,
that's right. And this way to be more efficient and get a faster turnaround when analyzing this. Quick comment, Thomas. Go ahead.
Yes. So we have confirmation from ICANN staff that they're standing by to feed incoming public comments into the public comment review tool as they are coming in, so that we have the public comment review tool, which is basically a table outlining things, you know, has this been discussed, you know, so it facilitates the analysis of public comment, so that we have that ready for to be digested by this group as soon as practically possible after the close of the public comment period. So that's going to be of huge help.
This option is our proposal, and it's important that we know that there is another option, which Jonathan described as asking some more generic questions, highlighting the underlying decisions that we're making. So I think this is the point where we need to have clarity about. And so that's where discussion opens, and I turn to Fiona.
Sorry, I'm just seeking clarity. Fiona here for the record. I am a bit confused. When we go back to the structure, we do not say anything about the legal input or advice or how we're going to use it, where do we place the legal positions that will come in from the legal team, or is that going to be just input that comes in for our use and we don't then touch on it or put anything on the legal positions? How are we handling the legal content?
Yeah, so the legal input should feed into every recommendation, proposal, so that we elaborate this, taking into account this legal input. If there is specific reference to be made to certain legal constraints, we could certainly quote the legal input, but I don't think we should do a specific section on legal input, because it's actually something that touches on all our proposals. Does that clarify? Thank you. Jordan, you're next.
Whenever you're doing consultation, there are two ways to do it, right? You can ask basic questions about what you've proposed and get basic answers, or you can try and write really intelligent questions that really get to the nub of the hard things that you need to resolve in the work that you're doing. Almost no one, governmental, private sector, whatever, takes the time to really get those questions right to make it as easy as possible for people making comments, and that the input that they give when they do is really, really going to help you do your job. Now, because of our compressed time frame, that leads me to think that we're going to end up in the first category. But I would like to think that we can try for at least some of these questions being in the second category, you know, the ones that are a bit like the ones that Jonathan described. So I just want to put that on the table. The questions do need to be simple but not simplistic. And they might not relate exactly like, what do you think of Model 1 versus Model 2? Do you want this power or not? We have to get a sense of the trade-offs and the difficulties that we're facing and ask for community input on those as well. So I don't mind if there's a few extra questions in our list of questions to help deliver that myself.
This is still compatible as long as those questions are framed around a specific recommendation to be fit and distributed. And so if the more elaborate we can be on our thinking about how to frame the questions, as you say, the more efficient we'll be. And the easier we'll make the answering for the community. So that's obviously important. Thomas, you're next.
I think the questions are, and how we frame the questions is important. I think we're going to have questions seeking confirmation whether we're on the right track with what we're doing. We might have some areas where we have, let's say, two options and where we're seeking the community's advice on which option would be preferable. But my fear is that folks might just give uninformed answers because they don't understand the overall concept, right? So this is why we introduced the narrative section of how we did this, a little bit of storytelling, you know, to make it easier. But if you have suggestions as to what items or what stories, you know, we had the cookbook analogy, we had the state analogy with the four building blocks. This is all nice, but if you have ideas for core questions that we could grasp in small, let's say, video clips, animations, graphics, I think that would be most welcome, because we have to make sure that we don't end up with a plethora of different views on what we propose just because people don't really understand what we're trying to convey. And so I think the communication thing is even more important than the substance, if you wish, because I think that, you know, looking at the suggestions that we make, that's pretty much common sense, right? So I find it compelling, the set of recommendations. Question is, do people get sufficient information to grasp how easy it actually is? And therefore, you know, if you have ideas, just throw them at us, and you know that the communications team is here. We have explained here, and I think they would be very appreciative of any input on facilitating this.
Rehashing this point about the selling point and the way we are actually explaining this, but we still need to produce the report anyway, and that's an additional layer. But I think it's very true that the way we are going to explain about the context is going to be as important as the description of the recommendations themselves. Yeah, so that's all the engagement and outreach that we are going to plan around these proposals will matter a lot, and how far we can go and how clear we can be is going to be extremely important to get informed feedback by the community. Steve?
Thank you. Steve Valbianco. I made this point yesterday, so I'll make it briefly again here. In the presentation of our mechanisms and approaches, it is essential to present it as a package that fits together and works together. For instance, the core values and mission statement are necessary to support the standards-based independent review process. A community structure is necessary to create the standing and the voting rules. So all of those things have to be presented together, and therefore the questions that we pose should really be about the package, the meal, and not the individual dishes that were part of the meal. Okay. That is essential here, because to pick it apart and suggest, I don't like the French fries, well, then it's not going to work. So I think that if we structure the questions, put them in a contextual way so that they address the entire package, and I'm talking about the work stream one package. I wouldn't mingle work stream one with work stream two items, but present the work stream one meal as one, Workstream 2 is the rest, a lot less detail, a lot less questions.
It obviously works better with the cookbook analogy than with the sausage factory. So we'll keep this cookbook thing. Anand.
Thank you. I put my hand up just as you started talking about communication and outreach, which was what I put my hand up for. Once we have a moderately strong feeling of when we're going to get this out, we need to start scheduling webinars and go to the individual ACs, SOs, and subunits of them, and an opportunity to present, and we're going to have to recruit a bunch of people to do that. But
the brainstorming's open, and yeah, definitely on the plan.
Just one comment. The amount of time it takes to schedule teleconferences is really problematic, so we need to start as soon as possible.
Is taken. Okay, so I think with this provision that about how to frame the questions, we can move on to the rest, the following steps.
And the following question is the overall timeline. So the intention on the next slide is the upcoming milestones. So, and it's intentional that there is no date here, because that's the first thing we need to agree on is what's ahead of us. Starting from the top, we need to issue a public comment at some point. We need to review the public comments. We need to refine our proposals. There, if needed, and I've heard a lot of input saying we will need probably a second public comment. And we'll have to review those public comments as well. I haven't repeated everything, but and then we'll need to engage with the SOACs, then transfer to the board, then oversee implementation is something we should not forget about. Then the implementation should be complete, and that's when the transition can actually take place. So, as far as soon as we shift something, the overall timeline shifts. And yet, we need to set realistic expectations. I see some comments, some hands raised. So, Alan, if you want to comment on this? No? Tijani, you wanted to comment on this one?
No, on the previous one. I raised my hand before we go to the timeline.
I missed it. Apologies.
Okay, no problem. I am okay to address the work stream one package as a whole. It is a good thing. But I think there is a value to see each mechanism, what is the reaction of the community about each mechanism. So we may make both. Thank you.
Steve's question, but we need to make sure we frame the questions in a manner that does not create the impression that you can pick and choose. But the questions on each mechanism would probably rather be on the how than on the if. Is that clear? Okay. So this timeline is, it's not a timeline, it's the different steps. And if we go to the next slide, the pressing question, the most pressing questions we have, and I'm only focusing on the most pressing ones, are when are we targeting to issue a public comment? When do we think we will be ready for that? And the current date that is in the plan is April 6th. 2015? I don't think that's actually in the plan. And that's a remark that was made about the Buenos Aires meeting. We haven't exactly decided which Buenos Aires meeting we're talking about. So I guess I go through those questions and then I'll open for discussions. But the first question is, when do we think we can be ready to go for public comment, considering the progress we've made the last 2 days, but also what remains to be done. Then there's the question of the duration of public comments. It's currently 30 days for this one. And then there's how we will review these comments, the face-to-face. We are starting to think that given that the timeline is shifting, a more flexible format would be more appropriate, and because there's a lot of constraints into setting up dates for face-to-face meetings that we might not be able to achieve in that context. And what exactly is the expectation we're setting for the Buenos Aires meeting for the rest of the community? Those are the pressing questions that we have right now. And before turning to the room, I'd like to turn to Jordan, because my feeling out of this meeting is that one of the most complex items we have to finalize before going for public comment is the community mechanism. I'm trying to stand by the definitions. So the community mechanism is probably one of the items where we still need a number of iterations to finalize something that is ready for public comment, even if it's not a consensus
group position but scenarios. So the question I was asking Jordan earlier, and I'd like to ask now, is how many weeks, basically, before we get something that we're reasonably confident about so that we can go for public comment on that?
I don't know if I want to answer your question. But not having had a chance to discuss it with WP1 and not having had a chance to fully understand, I think the hardest thing that we've got to do first is to work out how it needs to look, how to link all these things together. And then the next hardest thing is going to be to consolidate the hugely wide-ranging discussions we've had over the last 2 days into a couple of crystallized options and then work out whether there's some consensus on them or not. And then it takes a while to do the work to make it useful for a CCWG meeting. So I think you'll kill us if we try and meet 6th of April. I think that's a dead duck. This is aside the issue of legal advice, because it's being raised in the chat. I'm not sure that there's any value in us going out even to a general consultation before we understand the legal implications of stuff. Because the best you could say is we should do these in parallel because we're going to have another public comment. So it wouldn't invalidate what we got. It would just waste people's time. So, and given that, of course, everyone in the ICANN community is time rich and has lots of time to do all these things, we should waste lots of time. So realistically speaking, if we had a CWG meeting on the 30th of March and on the 6th of April, is it the 6th of April? And then on the 14th. So it's going to take 3 weeks, 7th and 14th of April. I don't see how we can do it without that period. So mid-April to me is the soonest we'll be able to really convert stuff, totally outside the question of actually then integrating legal advice into it.
Leon, about the timeline, the expected timeline for delivery of at least the initial rounds of legal advice?
Well, the law firms so far had one of the law firms, not both of them, but one of the law firms has so far told us that they would be in the position of providing initial legal advice, and I want to emphasize that that this would be initial, not definitive, of course, by the end of this week. So I think that's a major step forward. From there, we can receive this initial advice and begin the process of iterations with the lawyers. And the other law firm has said that they would be going into reviewing, of course, the document that we have handed them, and they are aiming to a 3 or 4 week period to provide a wider legal advice, and they would be also providing an initial advice maybe next week.
Okay, we're going to open for comments, but just want to stress, because it's been a comment on the list, that if we wait for final legal advice, then 2 to 3 weeks, it's just not going to fly. That means that we would be definitely not considering an approval by the SOACs until very, very long time down the road. So I think that we at some point we need to parallel to work on the basis of the initial legal advice and parallel things. Otherwise, I think it's putting us on. We're already considering very, very strong drift into the timelines here. So opening for comments, Edward.
Hi, Matthew. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I can't go back to my community and say, hey, here's some recommendations. Please take your time and make your comments. But by the way, they may be illegal, and we may not be able to do it even if you like it. I can't do that. We have to wait for the legal advice. It's inconvenient, but as Larry Strickling has said, we have one chance to do this right. We can't screw it up. We've got to wait for the legal advice before we can go to at least my members.
I can't ask them to take their time.
Just to correct a misunderstanding,
okay.
This is not what we're saying. What we're saying is, and we are consistent, that the legal advice must be in before we go for public comment. But
good.
We should not wait until legal advice to start reworking our proposals. We still need to be moving forward on those proposals. As we get legal advice and work on the basis on initial legal advice, iterate on this basis and not put this, serialize the issues here. That's what we're missing.
It may be a communication problem. So what you're saying is we don't go public until we've had the legal advice and incorporated it into our proposals.
Yes.
That's great. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. Although, sort of, we might not have all the finalized discussion on every detail and everything, but we'll get legal advice before we go public comment.
Then what we need to do is, for the other law firm, we need to emphasize to them what our deadlines are and ask them to try to comply with our needs so we can have as much of the legal advice that we need in time to act upon it for the public comment.
Step in, if you will, Thomas.
Yes. Huge line queue building. I think it's important to note that our group is working from general principles to a level of detail. And, Edward, there is a fair chance you might waste your community members' time because the final check is done for the whole package once it's ready for submission to the USG. So we have to work in an iterative fashion. So at the moment, we have general statements of powers that we want the community to be able to exercise. And if initial legal advice tells us, yes, that's something you can do, and you can use certain vehicles, then that would be green light for us to present these general statements to the community. And while we're doing that, we're drilling down to the next level of detail. You know, so the more we refine, we need to do sanity checks with the lawyers and adjust if need be.
Did I hear you say I may have to waste my community's time, hard-working volunteers that have given themselves to this corporation? I'm not going to do that. We have to adapt to them. They're the bottom-up that put us here. So I understand what you're saying, but we need to have as much the legal advice as we can before we go to them. I can't go to them I'm going to tell you flat out. I don't think the supervisory board is going to pass California law. I could be wrong. I'm not going to go to my community and say, what do you think about this?
I think we need to take this offline. I think you...
Well, you're the one who said I had to waste my community members' time.
I'm not
going to do that.
There is a fair chance of us, as we drill down to the details, get to points where legal advice tells us that we need to readjust. But what we're doing, if they're giving us a sense of, you know, you can go with these powers at the level of detail known at this point in time, and we proceed, then I think we're good to go. If at a later stage it turns out that not every wishes for implementation come true, then it might be the case that we need to readjust.
I think we should step away from the idea that there would be a final legal advice at any time. There is no such thing as final legal advice. There is legal feedback on the feasibility of the different steps. So as we're discussing about key design decisions, we're going to get legal advice on these key design decisions, whether they're feasible or not. And there will be a lot of provisions that it depends on the details and so on. And then when we get on the details, we get legal advice about the way the details are processed, and that's going to be another kind of final legal advice, if you will. So we're not wasting anyone's time, but we are having an iterative process because that's the only way forward. And otherwise, in a V cycle of development, we might be in a position that your community and others would. It's important that we get their feedback on the design and then on the details, but not. It would be wasting their time to look at the design and say and discover that at the details and discover that the design was wrong in the beginning. But I think that's the iteration process we need to build in. The next person is Olga.
Oops. Thank you, Matthew. Some clarification about this comment period. it's for the whole community, right? Am I right with that? So how are we managing the languages issue? Are we translating the documents? Are they going to be in several languages? Do we have time for that? This is one of my questions. Thomas talked about the GNSO platform. Could you send us a link to see how it looks? My feeling sometimes is for the general public, doing comments in ICANN platforms is sometimes a little bit complicated. So if you can send us some link to see how it looks. Other question I had.
Can we answer this one before?
Yeah, sure.
Thomas, on the platform.
Yeah, actually, the public comment review tool is not a technical platform. It's a document format. I think we've shared it with the group a couple of months ago. We'll make sure that ICANN staff sends it to you so that everybody sees what it looks like.
And just to look how it looks. Sometimes I've seen trying to get comments from the community, in my community, people find difficulties in commenting in ICANN platform. So languages is one issue. Then we should do our best effort to communicate, maybe the best that we can, videos, whatever. It will be difficult for people to comment. Also, we have a very short time when we reach to the community and try to convince them that they have to participate. So about the diversity that has been mentioned several times, we don't only have to see diversity within the process and in the different groups that will make the decisions and the mechanisms. It's also the diversity in reviewing this process. So we have to do our best efforts in including as much as possible as the whole community. And I will stop here. Thank you.
Just a point of confirmation that there will, considering the importance of this public comment, obviously there will be translation according to ICANN. ICANN is committed to that. How long would that take is the next question for... depends on the legs, but we'll do that. It will be high priority translation, obviously, for ICANN. I think that's all I can say for now, but obviously it's. I think everyone understands the importance of...
Yeah, it was just more for the impact on the timeline, because if the translation ends up taking 2 weeks, then your public comment period is out by 2 weeks.
I know that. I'm aware. I crossed the queue after Jonathan, but so far, Malcolm, if you want, please go ahead.
Thank you. When we go out for public comment, amongst the very important, several important functions that public comment period has, one of them, and one of the most important, is that we are seeking to win the support of the community for the proposals that we are putting before them. I think this is pretty clear. So when we send it, we will send it with various supporting information, legal advice being one of it. If it's not down to us, or whether it satisfies us, that advice, then it's never going to be entirely definitive. Nobody who's ever read any legal advice can reasonably expect that. But if it reads that it is completely important questions, seriously open, it's not down to us whether that satisfies us. The response that I can confidently predict back from the community, I can confidently predict from my segment of the community, will be, we can't support this until these questions are clarified and resolved. Yeah? So it's not a question of whether or not this is enough to go to do this. We will not achieve anything by that public comments period for our own progress unless we have met the minimum requirements that they set in order to give the support. So we need to view it in that light. The other point that I would make relates to what you said about the meeting management and the review of the public comment periods when they come back. When we've done that public comment period, we may get back a round of applause from the community, and that would be lovely. And it may be that, or we may get essentially widespread support for what we're doing with just some changes or additions or tweaks that we can relatively easily incorporate. But if we get back something that's rather different than that, and that is somewhat polarizing, we will have to, the way that we can work with that and work through that problem may be quite challenging. So I would suggest that the review of those comments to see what kind of response it is that we get back could well be done in an intense work format, probably better than in a face-to-face. However, should it occur, as it did with CWG, that the response that came back was significantly challenging, I would certainly expect that a face-to-face would be really important in order to resolve how we move forward after that.
You can characterize this as, how do they say in the CWG, a best-case scenario? But if we get pushback, obviously, I mean, the timeline expectations will shift and we'll have to address how we best reconsider our approach or anything. That's a very valid point. Thank you. Jordan?
Thanks. Jordan Carter here. So just to look through those bullet points, I don't think 6 April is a goer. If we start a bit later, I don't have a theological attachment to 21 or 30 or 40-day comment periods. If it's not our only bite at the cherry, I think we could look at a shorter one myself, but I don't know how other people feel. We had a face-to-face penciled in May because we were going to do two things at the same time. We were going to review the comments from our public consultation and we were going to finalize our proposal for the SOs and ACs. If I look at a bit bigger picture, if we're going to do two comment periods, with the second one being about presumably open during the course of the Buenos Aires meeting, so people can discuss our proposal in a face-to-face environment, that second comment period, I do think we should do something in April and May, at least to get some initial feedback on the direction that we're going. If that second one was open at that point, then whether we need a face-to-face meeting depends on the nature of the feedback. If it's very challenging and we need to do a lot of work to pull a second version to the BA meeting period, then we should meet face-to-face. If people are largely happy with the direction that we're going and we've had a chance to integrate more legal advice and do more detail, then we might be able to get away with just an intensive work weekend. So I think that we should plan for and find a date and get the lovely ICANN meetings team to simultaneously protect a venue for us but not spend any money in case we don't need the meeting.
Fiona.
Fiona Songa for the transcript. Just a few points I think we need to pay attention to. For starters, I think it's important that we have a good proposal. We take our time. We get all the legal input we can possibly get and have a good document going out for the first public comments. If we can go back to the previous slide, I'm not so sure we need to really work on the second public comments. Once we get the first public comments, then we review them and redefine the proposal. I think we can work with a target of going back this time round to the SOs and SEs during the Buenos Aires meeting, where we are presenting a proposal that has been redefined from the first public comments, get their views, redefine it again, then go back. So we still have the two public comments, but not back to back. We sort of like spread them around. If we can think that way, then I think it's possible for us working backwards from Buenos Aires, because the Buenos Aires meeting is on the 21st of June. We could have in the month of May, we can give ourselves April to really work on the proposals going back and forth, because I'm not so sure that when the legal advice comes, some of us will understand it. We may need to go back and ask for further explanations so that as the people involved in the process, we are understanding what it all is and what it means. So giving ourselves sufficient time, the month of April, we work on finalizing on the first proper proposal that goes out. 1st of May, we release it for public comments, and that month of April, also including the time we need for translation in all the languages, knowing that the ICANN translation team will need insufficient time. So which means really by mid-April, like Jordan had initially proposed, mid-April we finished our proposal and we have got the proposal going to ICANN staff for translation so that it goes out for public comments at the beginning of May. We have that month for public comments. We begin to review the public comments. We sit down now as a team to discuss the public comments that have come forth in the beginning of June. It gives us enough time to redraft the proposal and have it out again just before the Buenos Aires meeting for us to discuss with the different ESOs during the meeting and to still gather additional input that will come to us during our sessions and redefine it once more. So I think we do not necessarily need to really panic, but we need to be very clear and very strategic on how we make use of our time so that we get the most out of it. Then that way, after the Buenos Aires meeting, when we have put all that input together, we have the final public comments, and then we can give the proposal to the board.
Now for the elaborate proposal, and I'm starting to sense some traction on not meeting the 6th of April.
No.
About, I don't know, it's you know, I'm very sensitive to things. I'm starting to feel that the 15, 20th of April as a target date for public comment might make sense, and that the Buenos Aires meeting could be the second round of community engagement. That's what I'm seeing a lot of nods on this. Sebastian is adding himself in the queue, but he will be last. And Becky, you wanted to say something? Thank you, Becky. Very efficient. Rulof, are you as efficient?
I'm sorry. I'm going to be courageous and not as efficient as Becky. I think the CWG experience earlier this year showed us two, or learns us two, kind of contrary lessons. The first one is don't let a so-called deadline force you to publish half-baked plans for public comment. And the second one is get feedback as quickly as possible on the ideas that you have. In light with that, I would suggest that when we go for public comments, we only do that on design aspects that we have had legal feedback on, positive legal feedback on. We don't have to go into the details on which we don't have legal feedback yet, but on the high-level consultation, we should have the positive legal feedback that this is doable.
Intended through our discussion that it's the design recommendations we're focusing on this public comment, and you're adding the layer of that we've had legal advice on, which is consistent with the previous discussion we've had.
Yes, and I see that some of us in the chat are proposing that we can skip mentioning a mechanism and we deal with the powers first. I suggest that's a no-go area, because we agreed in a very early stage on the high lines of the different powers. It's on the mechanism where we still need a lot of discussion. So this is the same is going to be valid for the community. We have to give them the outline of how we think that these powers can be executed. We don't have to, I don't think it's a good idea that we give them all the five different options. And like I said in the chat, if we take the general principles that are the same for the different mechanisms, and we kind of sketch how such a mechanism would work, and if we want to give it a name, we call it something like a community council, that should be enough. It's about the general principles of how this is going to work. Otherwise, we'll get those questions in your open field, but how are you going to use these powers, implement these powers?
Thanks. Thanks, Rolf. Sebastian, last, and then we'll try to wrap this. Oh, Jonathan, you were in the line. Jonathan, you were before Sebastian, if I remember correctly. He's getting removed all the time.
It's like dropping off the bottom of the alphabet or something like that. Jonathan Zook. I guess it's a little bit redundant with what was said, but I think what might serve us well is to make a decision right now that we, of the first public comment, won't have anything to do with mechanisms, because that way we focus our efforts on the things that we want to build into the first public comment period, of which there's a tremendous amount of great work, whether it's stress tests or just a community power is what we think, whether we want supermajorities or not, what we think, what we mean by when we say community, all those kinds of things are questions that we've discussed and actually need community input into to get proper legal advice. And I think the legal advice is going to, more often than not, dictate the answer on mechanisms more than anyone's preference is going to. So if we really get strong community feedback on the work that we've done absent mechanisms, I think we'll be in a better position to, in fact, seek legal advice rather than trying to build mechanisms in the sort of getting people's arbitrary impressions between them, in an uninformed way in front of the community. I think we have plenty of good stuff to put in front of the community.
I think we should keep that option open. But it presents a significant risk of having to go through two subsequent public comments rounds on the mechanisms themselves. So we might create the need of a third public comment and then shift the timeline even further. But you're right, if we're not ready and the only piece we're missing is this one, then we might have to do that. But I would hope that we have made sufficient progress by the time we launch this public comment, that we're confident that we can issue this based on the legal advice, initial legal advice that we'll receive in a manner that informs the community of where we might be heading at least. Sebastian, last?
Yes, thank you. Just to remind you that there is an ICANN policy about publication of the document, that it's 15 working days prior to an ICANN meeting to any document to be discussed during this ICANN meeting. And in question of accountability, we need to follow these rules. That means that the document must be published before the end of May. It's this document who will be discussed during the Buenos Aires meeting. It's something difficult to achieve for a lot of documents, but I think we need to have that included in our schedule and difficulties. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Good, excellent point, and the best we can do. But if it's the wish of the community that if we don't meet this deadline, we don't discuss in Buenos Aires, so be it. But at some point, we will strive to do as much as we can. But once again, it's quality first, and that's I think something we've agreed on. Especially if the Buenos Aires meeting is not a decision point, but an engagement point on the discussion. Chris wanted to ask something that is totally unrelated.
Well, it's a question about legal advice, Mathieu, if I may. If I understand correctly where we are, we're now looking at sort of a week after the 6th of April or possibly 2 weeks after 6th of April for going out for public comment. So my question is, do we think that that's going to be beneficial from a legal advice point of view? And is there any pressure that we can... Clearly, the more legal advice we've got, the better legal advice we've got on the stuff that's going out for public comment, the better. So I wonder whether we could perhaps, given that we've now agreed to allow an extra 2 weeks or so, we could work very closely with the lawyers to make sure that they can provide us with as much advice as possible. And what I think that means, and the reason why I put my hand up to say something, is because I know, for example, that Jordan and Becky will be working on Working Stream 1 or whatever it's called. The legal committee, the client committee...
The legal sub-team.
I know they're a very large group, and I know you're relying on the fact that only a few people will turn up. But I, from my experience, and that's fine, from my experience of A, dealing with lawyers, B, being a lawyer, and C, dealing with the way ICANN works, could I suggest, encourage you to set a series of calls for that group with the lawyers, like twice a week or something, to actually bounce through everything so that you really keep the pressure on and you are, they come with, even if they come with just statements, you can start asking questions of those statements and start shaping the advice. Just a suggestion. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, in fact, one of the objectives of our first coordination meeting tonight is exactly what you said. And yes, we're going to be working very close to the lawyers. In fact, you have one of the lawyers just beside you, so hold him. Don't let him go. And excellent. So you're far ahead from us. No, but yes. Thanks, Chris.
Do you want to respond to this? I think that there's a question on the chat from Becky about the exact wording of the bylaws and how it will certainly go to a public comment. This is correct, but our understanding of what is expected from our group is to make recommendations that will then go into the regular bylaw public comment process, where the board will consider, we will issue recommendations that this and this and this be incorporated in bylaws, maybe with some suggested wording. It will go through the board will certainly turn to legal for some initial drafting, etc., and go to public comment. So it's to us, our understanding is that it is not in the mandate of our group to design the precise wording of the bylaws before turning to the board for approval. And if you go to the slide before, the precise wording of the bylaw is expected to happen under oversee implementation phase. That is where this call for comments on the precise wording of the bylaws is expected to happen. It's important to be understood, and I think that's, to me, it's something we're trying to check, that everyone is on the same page on this, that transfer to the board does not necessarily mean everything is cast in stone in terms of words, wording, bylaw sentences, and so on. But the principles are precise enough that there is we have narrowed down any room for implementation maneuver that would, you know, open room for challenge after that. And that's in our group's mission to oversee implementation at this point, and will still be in our mandate to ensure that the implementation is consistent with the recommendations that we have set up. And that's why I'm putting this on the screen now, that there is this overseeing of implementation, there is the completion of implementation where we will say, okay, that's consistent, and only then can the transition, meaning the end of the NTIA contract, happen. And I think it's important to have this distinction well in mind. Jordan, you wanted to say something, and I have Paul. Jordan?
I think that there might be some advantages to what the situation you've just described, because in terms of overseeing the implementation, we could be the lead point of contact for the ICANN lawyers in preparing the bylaws changes. We could insist on a formal consultation with us. We could discuss it at the CCWG, get some tweaks made before it goes through the formal community consultation process. That kind of division of duties, if you like, does seem quite appealing to me, because it'll mean a fresh look is being taken at the content, and that we don't have to do all the drafting, but that to the extent people here have done drafting, it will be automatically useful for the preparation of the consolidated set of bylaw changes. The other point I just wanted to make was that 20th of April deadline, 15-20 April, that to me is when the CCWG will be able to finalize its initial proposal. I don't know how long it takes from when we go, here you go, to the thing being open for public comment in a range of languages. Someone presumably does know that, it isn't me. But I don't see how we can finalize it on our side any sooner than 10, 15, 20 April.
Turning to Paul and then trying to recap this, because I think the urge of closing this meeting is starting to step in.
A very quick question. How long will the bylaw revision process take inside the board? Assuming that you gave them a proposal on July 1 and assuming that they agreed to it on July 1, both of which are kind of heroic, there would then be the drafting of the words, public comment on the bylaw changes, come back to the board for approval. I recall Bruce saying something on the order of 45 to 60 days. Is that your estimate?
Turn to others. I have Thomas and probably Chris can provide some input on this as well. Thomas?
Thank you. Well, actually, I have a question to the next slide. So will we come to the next slide, or will that, is there no time for this? Okay, then I'll wait. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew. It's Chris. Irrespective of whether the bylaw changes come from this process, there is still a process by which they need to be brought into being, and that includes a public comment period. In any event, given that this working group is not drafting the actual bylaws, the drafting of those bylaws would need to be subject to public comment anyway. So I think that it would be relatively easy to draft them, assuming that the legal advice and the community recommendations line up pretty easily. Then it would be fairly easy to draft them, because you'll effectively have the legal advice to sit on to draft them. And then I think there'd need to be a sort of 30-day, possibly a 40-day comment period. I don't know where that takes us to, but if I said to you 2 weeks to draft them and then 40 days after that. But I think the key is that it's not necessary for the bylaw changes to be made before the plan goes up to the NTIA. In fact, you could argue that bylaw changes shouldn't be made until the NTIA has confirmed that they approve the plan. So we need to manage that process as well, and I don't know how long that's going to take. It could be that, just as an example, it could be that NTIA, if you believe there is a deadline, if you say there's a deadline, let's just assume that's the 21st of September for the sake of discussion. It could be that the answer is it's for them to give us an answer by then, and for them then to give us a period of time in which to make the necessary changes before they actually physically release the stewardship.
Just a quick follow-up on that. I agree completely that it would be irresponsible of the board to adopt bylaw changes absent a confirmation from NTIA that it thought those changes the right ones that would satisfy its obligation. So the process is going to have to be NTIA approval, board bylaw changes and implementation, and then NTIA relinquishment of the contract. But NTIA must, by contract, give ICANN 30 days notice, 30 days possibly reducible to 15, notice if it's going to renew the contract. So the date on which NTIA must pull a trigger is either September 1st or September 15th, depending upon your perspective. And I just, this Paul, we're starting to run out of time.
Just
a point of clarification. NTIA has to renew the contract. It cannot not let the contract renew.
Yeah. Thomas, and then we'll try and close the discussion and move to the last slide.
Just for clarification purposes, I guess what our group needs to come up with is an implementation plan where the date of the approval by the U.S. government is T0, right? And then we will flesh out periods for drafting things, public comment, you know, everything in a realistic time frame, so that the U.S. government knows exactly for what time the contract needs to be extended. And I think we're pretty sure it needs to be extended for a couple of months. But then things can roll out sequentially with predictability.
And I think that's one of the items I would like to propose we move forward with. There's certainly a need now to revisit the timeline in a more comprehensive fashion, including down the line up to the end of the contract on our side. I guess there will be some similar things being done on the CWG side as well. The two starting points that I'm taking from this discussion is we're working on a target date for finalizing our CCWG Workstream 1 packaged proposals by April 20th in terms of key design decisions, key design recommendations for the mechanisms. Okay, so that's what we're working at, and that's a very important point to make clear for the rest of the community, important for us because we need to organize for that, important for the rest of the community to know and the outside world. So that's number one. Second is our goal will be to have a turnaround that enables a second request for comment to be discussed in time for the Buenos Aires meeting, taking into account all the constraints that we have for that. And we will move to a best-case scenario where we would not have to do a face-to-face meeting and cross our fingers and sell the whole thing so that it happens like this. So we are counting on Steve to be providing whatever it needs to be sold like this. But I think we are doing a considerate and considerable amount of work that puts us in a position to actually have reasonable hopes that this could happen. But let's not be overly optimistic, but not pessimistic either, and not plan always for the worst case. So that's I think. So we'll plan this. So that's two key messages for the community that we would issue out of this meeting and relay to the CWG as well as publicly. And we will, by next week, draft a timeline that is adjusted to these new parameters so that we can discuss this together and publish it as soon as possible so as to set expectations right according to what is realistic after this meeting. It was, I think, important to discuss this. I have Thomas, but I go to the next slide first to say that the next slide's idea is to ensure we have clarity about who's doing what in preparation for April 20th. So our proposal from the co-chair's point of view is that, of course, the recommendations are prepared by the working parties. So that's Section 7, and maybe there's a problem of numbering the sections here, but basically the accountability mechanisms description are the responsibility. The working parties are accountable to deliver this in time with the level of detail we've discussed. So that's 6 and 8 might merge. That was contingency and stress test, but that's for the stress test working party. As co-chairs, we reserve the right to draft a summary, and we might need some help to make it a compelling summary, something that is actually sizzle and not only steak. We'll be dancing around anyway. We are planning to ask staff, based on the work that's been done so far, to feed into the other parts of the report because we think they need to be rather fact-oriented and summarized, and we think we don't want to spread you too thin on this. It's a proposal. The staff is ready to do that. If there's volunteers to do that, well, so be it, but let's not extend the deadlines for that matter, because I think all the work's been done in work area 1, work area 2, and the definition and scoping is done, and let's avoid I mean, duplicating efforts or and focus our efforts on where we need this. So that's our proposal, which is put for comments, and obviously with the caveat that the whole report, every single section, is discussed within the CCWG calls, and of course being enables anyone in this room or even remotely participating to comment, amend, and everything. And that's obviously something that is part of our proposals. And I would, so that's where I think we can open, if there's any discussion, and including Thomas' comment. And then we'll go to the last question, which approach that I would like to state is, as much as possible, if we can have continuous delivery, like section after section, the most we can deal with in advance of the April 20th, because it's ready and because the easiest it will be for us. That amounts for the staff part, by the way. So Thomas, what was your question on this one?
Thank you. It was actually a question of understanding. The way I understand, there will be recommendations coming out of the subgroups with regard to, for instance, contingency and stress tests. We didn't really discuss this in the plenary here, if I may. Where will these be discussed? Will they only be discussed in the subgroup and then go directly into the report, or is there like a coming to the plenary layer for these things? Thank you.
You're right that the other recommendations that might come up from the stress test, for instance, need to be discussed in the CCWG as a plenary, and we should. We haven't had time to do that in this meeting, but certainly we'll plan to do this at, for instance, our next call. Yeah, we've done half of them on the calls. We'll certainly pass through them, the other ones, until April 20th, and discuss any recommendations coming from them in the plenary. In the calls. Is that, yeah, please go for a follow-up.
Just a follow-up question. So you're assuming that there will be agreement. What do you do, or what is the process if there's a need for discussions on such recommendations, just that we understand the process?
Well, I think the process, it's outlined in our charter that in case there's some disagreement, we would do a consensus call somehow, and if there is... how do they call it, rough consensus in the charter, and there's minority views, they would be documented as part of the public comment as well. Considering that the question would be, would we agree to put this question to public comment? Not yet to put it as a recommendation, obviously. Yes, go ahead.
A little clarification with respect to minority views. It would be up to the organization or to the individuals that have minority views to write minority view statements, right? So the way Mathieu was cutting this short, summarizing the procedure, there is no automatism that this will be captured. So the burden is on those dissenting with their opinion to write such statements, and then they will be made part of the report.
Gation Thomas. I have Jan.
Yeah, thanks, Jan Scholte. Just a clarification and apologies if I slept through something and missed it. But this next sprint public comment has 9 points, or 0 to 9. The initial one had 0 to 10, and the one that's missing is items for consideration in workstream 2. And is that, and who's drafting that, or is it, has it been lost?
Just to see if you were sleeping.
Okay.
And thank you for noticing it. No, that's because I added the workstream 2 late in the process of drafting this and forgot to put it in on this one.
And who's then going to draft it? Is it going to be staff? Is it going to be work?
I think that's something we have discussed that we need to consider and come back with proposals on how to address this. So it's probably still on the group level to work out how we're going to do that. But thanks for noticing. Jordan?
We haven't discussed this idea of minority reports in this report, and I don't think it's up to you guys, with the greatest respect, to make that decision. I think that that's something that we should put on the agenda for our next call. Is it in the charter? Okay, no, that's a useful clarification. Thank you. The second point is I just wanted to be really clear about the messaging we're going to take out of this about our timetable. I'm feeling now a looming sense of dread about having suddenly committed to 20th of April without the chance to actually plan whether that's viable or not. A. B, I know that when the co-chairs of our CCWG meet the co-chairs of the CWG tomorrow, and probably already people have started communicating those dates. Is there any way that we could say out of this meeting, A, we're not going to be doing it on the 6th of April, B, we're going to be finalizing a revised set of realistic dates on our call next Tuesday? I think that would definitely be preferable. If we can't do that, if we have to live with the 20th, we don't want to flex this again, right? We've been struggling all the time so far with a timetable that has been imposed on us from outside. If we're going to, I don't want to delay it. I would love for us to be able to make the 20th. If everyone thinks that we can definitely do that and is prepared to spend the time, then I'm fine. But if you're like me, you haven't had time to really work it out and be able to assure yourself of it. So I'm asking the question because I know that by the time we finish the session, we'll have an answer one way or the other.
Important point in the last item on our agenda is actually what we're going to say after this meeting, and we have an urgency to provide a statement very quickly so that the CWG can base its assumptions about our work on this statement. So what needs to be inside this statement is obviously the kind of mechanisms we're working on. We've been addressing this, and I think we have the relevant material for that, but also the timeline. And so there's something about the language, but I would be reluctant to not give any date because that provides a signal that it's totally shifting. So probably something around the fact that our current, the earliest target date being 20th of April, and that's what is being considered, is probably the best thing I could think of so far. But I think we need to signal something about the expectation about date, because there's a lot of anxiety that we can lead to if we don't provide any dates. And we need to make sure the language is not setting too high expectations. But we need to give something of how long the shift is going to be in terms of order of magnitude, at least. So that's an important question, so I turn to Steve.
Earlier, Thomas talked about working backwards, what did you call it, the zero date. But I think that in communicating expectations out of this meeting, it would be better to start with a summary of the kind of progress that was made with respect to the package, the engagement of legal experts, and there's an expectation that the board by Durbin would have something it could act. Sorry, Dublin, by Dublin. This is something Becky mentioned earlier, recall? So working backwards from that, and then you might say that we also have an expectation that the first public comment period will have been opened prior to Buenos Aires. And I don't think it's necessary for your communication that you issue in the next 24 hours to nail that April 20th date, since there's a high likelihood that it would still move, you know, a week or two from that. So isn't it better to work backwards from this notion? Because what does the community care about? Do they really care about the day we start public comment? No. What do they care about? Whether we think we are going to make the transition later this summer. That's what I'm saying. Work backwards from the bigger picture of being able to get it done, and don't focus too much on whether April 6th just turned into April 20th.
Chris.
Yes, I apologize if I hadn't broken it in the first place. We're talking about messages that we're going to be delivering, apart from as well as dates. So you guys are going to meet with the CWG
chairs. And I will say this in the CWG on Thursday and Friday, and I thought it was important to say it here because I think it's an important message for you to deliver, that I've got a small fear that lack of detail, which we're quite comfortable with because we're going through a process of how we're going to do this, that lack of detail may give the CWG an opportunity, if they wish to do so, to say, well, we can't actually do anything until we see the detail. The key to this, it seems to me, is that CWG needs to understand that it's not, we don't have to satisfy them that the accountability mechanisms that we're putting in place are the right ones. We have to satisfy the community that the accountability mechanisms are the right ones. So if the community comes back and says these are the, what we're saying is the right thing, then that you know, they take that, because that's so they should be taking where we've got to, and if we've made a decision that there will be a board spill, they should, which we have, they should be accepting that and not worrying too much about what the detail is, but saying there will be a board spill. Let's put that board spill into our deliberations. So I think it's important that we deliver a clear message that says, you know, look at the bigger picture, don't worry too much about the detail. I hope that makes sense. I know what I mean, but I'm not sure that I've got it across.
James Gannon, I suppose echoing some of Steve's comments, I think there's possibly there's a phrase to under-promise and over-deliver. I think the preference should be to announce, particularly for a public date, to announce a later date and have the opportunity possibly to deliver early on that date, than rather than announcing an earlier date and missing it, particularly from, you know, general public perception. It's better to say, you know, the 27th, the 28th, and then say, oh, no, wait, no, the 25th, we can get it out, rather than saying the 20th and it going out on the 23rd. And public expectation on that is something that I think needs to be managed.
Fiona?
I will ask you to look at your calendars, Fiona, for the transcript. If we look back at when we want to engage the SOs and SEs in Buenos Aires, and we work backwards from that, just from that time, we do not have sufficient time within which to have the first draft out for public comments, go through the public comments, add them into the proposal to go back to the SOs and SEs. My proposal is we work within the time frame that we have, we get the good proposal out. I'm still emphasizing what I said earlier. We get a good proposal out, send it out for public comments, knowing that we will have to have 21 minimum, working with the minimum days, 21 days for public comments, then another 21 days for responses, bearing in mind that the comments are going to come in languages other than English and need to be translated back for us who are non-Spanish or Italian or German speakers into a like English, which is what we are comfortable working with. So by the time we are meeting the SOs and SEs, chances are that we are going to have to go back, we'll be going to them with our input from the public comments, having digested it and probably discussed it, and not with a full document, because they'll be referring to the old document. So they refer to the old document, but we have then prepared slides that accommodate some of the public comments that we have found we can accommodate, so that we are getting the buy-in of the SOs and the SEs and getting them engaged. Because if we don't make use of an ICANN meeting to engage the SOs and SEs, sometimes it can be very difficult to get all the views and inputs. And an ICANN meeting gives a very good platform for us to get direct responses and feedback from SOs and SEs, and we should be able to make use of that opportunity. So then we begin to plan again on the next stage after Buenos Aires, because the calendar right now is a bit too tight.
The following. For our official statement, we could say that we're aiming at having a proposal to be discussed by the SOs and ACs, and that we're going to conduct a public comment period prior to that. Not announcing a date today. But we have colleagues from the CWG in the room. Lisa Fuhr was in the room. So the 20th as a target date is out there. So it's unrealistic to believe that, you know, that the guys joining both groups will forget what they heard once they walk through the door, right? So let's aim for the 20th. Let's work full throttle on meeting the 20th, and let's communicate a more definitive date once we've reviewed the initial legal advice, let's say, and then. But you know, so we're not making false promises, basically.
Just so, and we'll work on an extended timeline. I just want to flag that the ASO AC approval will become a challenge if we want board approval by Dublin. Between Buenos Aires and Dublin, there is no GAC meeting. There is no CCNSO meeting. And therefore, we will have a challenge in terms of timeline and working methods to have ASO-AC approval before the board approval in Dublin. And it's not for us to solve this right now, but that's the thing that we need to be aware of and work at. There's plenty of solutions. There's plenty of time, and there's plenty of solutions. But it's not apparent yet, and it may require some ASO or AC to jump out of the usual way of proceedings, and as such, we need to be aware of the risk that we are taking, but I think it is not avoidable at this point. So that's just for us to be fully aware of the consequences of what we're doing. But obviously, it's quality first, and then we just rest. And I think with that, I would like to stress that considering that there's the CWG meeting coming, our co-chair's statement is we were planning to issue it as co-chairs very quickly, with a very quick turnaround, probably be tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, apparently, we do hope. And therefore, we would not have time to circulate it by the group as we did last time. It was going to be very clear. It's just a co-chair statement. We've just discussed the content, which is the package, which is the elements about the timeline we've just discussed. And if there's any other input to this chair statement, now is the time, but I think we'll try and keep it short. Our goal is to make the community aware of our progress, make the CWG aware of what they can rely on. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why we think it's important to issue it in time for the CWG members to be fully informed of our progress. Steve.
If you just wanted to inform the CWG of progress, you wouldn't have to do that through a formal written statement.
Well, I mean, CWG list is exactly the same as publishing the co-chair statement. I mean, it's all public, so might just merge the whole thing.
When we got feedback from the CWG or individual CWG members, I should say, they said, "Well, you're discussing all these powers, but who gives us assurance that they're actually going to come?" And I think if we're now in a phase where we can say, "Well, this is something you can lean on." We don't know exactly what they're going to look like, but they're going to be there, you know, because we have agreement on the empowerments that they're going to be. So I think we need to give a message to the community on that one, and then work on the details.
That, I think we have exhausted the agenda. I think that was intended. Thank you for catching this. It means that you're still awake, and I just want to once again express my appreciation to all the colleagues here who did a tremendous amount of work before this meeting, the extraordinarily constructive tone that we've had all across these 2 days. We've made great progress on complex issues in a very short time, and it's amazing that we are managing to build this in a very, very constructive manner all across. So it's a demonstration of the power of this multi-stakeholder approach that we're actually providing. And I want to thank the advisors who joined us for this meeting. Of course, extend the thanks to Nancy, the ICANN meeting team, and all the logistics. And kudos to the extraordinary support staff that we have with us. And I also want to thank my fabulous coaches. It's really fun. It's really fun. So with that, I think you're free. You can now enjoy Istanbul, if you can. And I look forward to continuing the discussions.